Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey guys, welcome back to According To. I'm Megan.
And I'm Sierra. For this week's episode, Megan and I thought it'd be fun and hopefully helpful to talk through like some of our tips and ideas for implementing healthy habits and routines into your day-to-day life.
So we are no experts on what it means to be healthy, and that looks different for everyone, but I feel like at the end of the day, you almost need to like be more wary of the people who like try to sell you on this is how you are going to be the healthiest version of yourself. This is how you're going to like meet all your goals. And so like we're just going to provide very easy and actually useful tips to like make things stick, hopefully.
And I also feel like we've gotten feedback from people who watch our YouTube channel of just like how we seem to balance things well and like, you know, seemingly get quote-unquote everything done, like, you know, in the 24 hours that everyone else has. And so hopefully just like some time management advice will be helpful as well, because I feel like when it comes down to it, like implementing these habits in some way is just time management skills. So before we get into time out, healthy habits and routine and all that stuff, we like to do a little catch-up, talk about books, talk about life, talk about
our weekly spotlights. Sometimes this is the more fun part of the
episode. So do you have a weekly spotlight that you would like to share?
Let's see. Not really. I feel like my life has been on repeat where I'm just like, right now I'm literally thinking of like, I have 4 weeks left of work until my week long vacation and I don't have a whole lot else going on.
And that's just your mindset to get you through the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can try and give you guys a little spotlight.
My weekends have been like, literally they feel like Groundhog's Day, which is coming up by the way. Soonish.
My weekly spotlight will be that we just got mini donuts from this place that this is our second time going there, and we went there for the first time over a year ago. And when we went there, I was like, oh my god, this is delicious. Like, I will be back for sure. Like, this will be a regularly occurring thing. And I've repeatedly thought about it like many times over the course of like the past more than a year it's been since we've been there. Like, I've been like telling Megan like, hey, that mini donut place, like, we need to go back.
It's because like there's nowhere else to get mini donuts, but then at the end of the day you're kind of like, Starbucks is closer and mm-hmm. I could just get that.
Yeah,
with my little drink.
Today we made the decision, we're podcasting right now, so like we went and dropped Vegas off at my mom's house, and then the mini donut place is relatively close to her house, so we stopped by there on the way back. So it was planned out. Mm-hmm. But the mini donuts were very good. We got 16 donuts for the price of 12, which is nice. We got a s'mores flavor, cinnamon sugar, cinnamon lava, and powdered sugar. And we ate them all up. Granted, it was 16, so it's still like a lot of donuts, and we ate all of them. But like originally when we were going, like I thought we were getting 12. And so I was like asking Megan how many she thinks we should get. And she's like, well, I was thinking 24. I was like, 24?
To be fair, though, I mean, I'm not full after eating my share of the eight. Yeah. I don't think four more would have like destroyed me.
I know, but just 12 mini donuts seems like a lot. But then I guess you have to think like in the like a fair thing.
That's what I was thinking of.
You know,
how many are in?
But they're not. Those don't typically have toppings on it, and so these had more toppings, which you know fills you up a little bit more. I don't know. I'm satisfied. It was a good start to the morning. Megan started her morning earlier than me because she was watching Vegas this morning.
I did, but this weekend, like the past 2 days, I have been like going to bed to read my book. Like, last night, I was, like, it was 9 o'clock. I was, like, in theory, even though I knew this wasn't going to happen, but I was, like, in theory, I could read until, like, midnight. Like, that's how much time I could, like, stay awake and,
I'm know, usually, like, no matter if it's weekend or weekday, morning. I'm pretty hard and fast. Like, 11 is my bedtime, and I don't even make it to 11 half the time.
But then I start reading my book, which I'm reading Once Upon a Broken Heart right now. We'll get to books in a second. But, like, I just am, like, I'm out here falling asleep these past two nights, so I fell asleep before like 10 o'clock last night, and then I woke up because I said I would let Vegas out and watch him this morning. And my plan was to stay up later and then come downstairs and make Vegas sleep with me on the couch. But I woke up at 6 and I was like, I'm 6:15. He slept in a little bit.
You're like, I'm well rested.
And I was like, well, I guess I got like literally over 8 hours of sleep. Like, I didn't hear him when you let him out because I went to bed just like with my earplugs right away.
Yeah, that's what you need to do when it's not your morning duty. Like, just earplugs in. I always get confused when I'm saying it. If I'm like AirPods. So, earplugs in right away. That's the game changer.
But yeah, then since I didn't really do as much reading as I was expecting to last night, I didn't get my like 3 hours worth that I was like, I could do 3 hours worth of reading right now. I read probably like another 60 pages this morning. So I'm like halfway through my book right now.
Any initial thoughts, vibes?
I like it. I like it. What other fantasy books have I read? I was going to like give
Akatar,
a comparison.
Fourth
I feel like
Wing.
I'm liking this probably about like the same as some of those other ones, like at least initially, but I'm enjoying that this isn't having the same kind of Sierra's. We can talk about this too, but like a lot of fantasy books have like this Red Queen, and that's because like we read it first. That's like what we compare it to. But it's like a lot of them, when you first start reading them, they just feel like the Red Queen in a different font. Like when I read that first, because it's basically like this mere mortal girl who's like
simple
poor,
girl, and there's like the kings or like the
kings
powerful.
Or princes, powerful people that have like more powers are in charge. Like she gets whisked off away with them for whatever reason. That's what happens in Red Queen. That's what happens in Akatar. And then you're reading one that I just
Powerless.
Read. Powerless. So like they all kind of feel like that. So Sierra had made the comparison of like Red Queen already for Powerless. And I'd kind of agree. At least like initially you're like, this is the same book. Something else to talk about. Because I...
What are we talking
about?
If
you have read Powerless, let me know if you were as confused as I was the first chapter. Because like...
I think that I realized why I got confused. I don't know how you got confused, but I think I know how I got confused. So it's a dual POV of Peyton and Kai, and you get Peyton's point of view first. And I feel like, I don't know about you guys.
I was like, Peyton. Is that a boy or girl name? I was like, I don't know.
I thought it could be like either name. So when I was reading, I just like was assuming it was a girl.
I was getting confused because her friend, they were saying stuff to each other where like, I was like, oh, is this the love interest already? Because you're meeting Peyton's friend.
Who is a female.
And I have no idea what's going on at this point in the book. And I'm like, okay. And Peyton's like being like stealthy and like stealing things. And I just was kind of like with how when I found out it was she. Peyton is the girl in the book. But I didn't know that at first. And I swear I was even trying to find like pronouns in the dialogue portion.
No, that's what was confusing me because, and this is where I think I got confused. And I still don't fully know who they're referring to. Or if it was just like a case of like the person like misgendering them like on accident. In terms of like,
yeah,
she was overhearing.
There was
Peyton overheard a guy saying like, "Oh, his eyes were blue or something."
And I kind of,
and I was like, "Oh, so Peyton's a boy."
No, I kept getting confused because I was like, I kept going back and forth. I was like, "Is this a boy or girl?" And then that part happened. And I was kind of like, "No, I think." At one point, I was thinking, "No, like he misgendered the thief, so like that's perfect because like." But then I kept getting confused again because like how she like then was interacting with her friend.
No, I thought it was a girl. I read that and I was like, "Oh, it's a boy," and then.
So I was remember. Like, that first chapter, I was like, what is happening?
So if you haven't read Powerless, and you are going to, Peyton is a girl, and Kai is the boy.
Yes.
So hopefully you won't get confused. But it was just funny because Megan hadn't mentioned that to me, and I don't know if you mentioned it first or if I did.
You did.
Because I was like, I was getting confused at first.
Maybe I did. I think I hadn't said anything because I was like, it was probably just a me thing. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to like give her a warning because I thought about it, but I was like, it was definitely just a me thing, and I just wasn't. Paying attention when I was reading, and then you had like read the first chapter. I think I just kind of was like, let me ask if you were at
like,
confused.
Do you know if I think you were like, do you know who's like the guy and the girl? And
okay.
I was like, yeah, but
yeah, because you'd barely gotten into the book, so I was like, you would have just read like the first chapter. So then I was like,
so I said,
just to be,
I was
clear.
Like, yes, but I was confused, and then we both were just talking about how. So I feel like two of us,
like
the author, did something wrong, or I don't know. She needs to.
It doesn't add anything to the story. Like,
right.
You should know who.
I don't know if Peyton she just didn't, like, include enough pronouns or, like, background info initially. I don't know. And I think the thief comment really threw me for a loop of, like, his eyes are blue. Because her eyes are blue. So he must have just misgendered her.
And thought it was, like, a girl wouldn't do that. It's a guy.
Yeah. But, like, that was confusing because at that point we didn't. I don't think it ever explicitly said at that point if it was a boy or a girl. And so then I'm like, oh, it's a boy. Anyways, maybe the back of the book says, like, oh, Peyton, the girl who steals
things. It probably
does.
But, like, I don't read stuff. And I didn't, surprisingly, like, I was on Powerless Book Talk before reading the book, but, like, I didn't have the character names, like, figured out at that point. So, there you go. If you are reading Powerless, or if you also were confused when you were reading the first chapter, you're not alone. Back to the book I'm reading now. I say all of that to say the book I'm reading now finally feels like it's different. I'm reading Once Upon a Broken Heart. I don't know the author's name. And it's a little more like fairy tale-esque. And it's not really like, there's not really like a hierarchy going on
or anything. Are there like any stakes or anything? Or is it just like...
Right now...
Just like, vibes?
She's at a ball right now with the prince. And there's two different love interests. There's like the prince and then there's someone else. His name is Jax and he's a fate. And it's like, I don't really know what the fates do or what... Like, if they have powers, I don't really know. I just know that he's a fate, and he can, like, cast spells or curses for whatever reason. And he's, like, using the main female character, and her name is Evangeline. And he's using her in a way where, like, he's trying – he has, like, an ulterior motive, and she's trying to figure out what's going on because there's, like, these different, like – there's, like, the North region, which is, like, full of, like, fairy tale kind of land – and then there's like whatever the southern region, I don't know, that's where she's from.
So Akatar.
no and her mom is from the north, but like for some reason there's something magically that happens where like people who leave the north to go to the south, like people can't like retell different like fairy tales or stories, like, and I don't even think in the north they can do, like they'll start telling a story and they'll kind of be like, oh, like I can't finish saying like what I was saying because there's like a thing where like these prophecies, like, aren't fully told, fully fleshed out. I don't know. But, like, the stakes right now are that Jax seems to be trying to do something. He's trying to, like...
But we don't know what.
But we don't know what. Yeah.
And the prince just likes her and is trying to whisk her away.
No, he's been cursed.
Oh. What, like, in Akatar?
No. It's, like... And I don't think any of this is spoilers because it's, like, not... I don't know why this is, but you could skip ahead if you feel like this is spoiling anything, but I'm telling you, and you haven't read the book yet. It's like he has cursed Evangeline. Curse isn't like the right word, but like there's a spell on her. She's supposed to kiss like three people for whatever reason, and she has like, this little tattoo thing.
It's like going to check them off.
And as she so does it. The prince was one of them, and then he also like, she knows that Jax put a spell on the prince to make him like her. This ball is for, like, the prince to find a bride. And so now the prince has, like, proposed and, like, a wedding is being planned. But she is like, he doesn't actually like me. I know that. You did that to him. And it's part of, like, I think a prophecy that Jax is trying to use to get what he wants. And so that's where I'm at with it. So we'll see what happens.
I'm currently reading Powerless. We're going to talk about that. I feel like I know there's going to be like a trial, which Megan said was Hunger Games-esque when she read it. Mm-hmm. And so like I just got to the part where like the names have been called for the trial. And I'm awaiting to see what all comes from that. Other book-related stuff that we have going on. Megan and I are prepping and planning. We want to do a book video at some point of one of those like this video ends when we read a 5-star read. And that takes a lot of pre-planning because you have to, like, you know,
we have to actually start reading
by the time we want to have the video go up. And so we're, like, brainstorming what books we think would be good books to read. You want to start with good books, but, like, hopefully you don't start with, like, a 5-star book, like, right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'll start with my next book. I'll probably do the novellas for Akatar because I don't think that's going to be 5 stars. And then we'll go from there. I know I want to read Winter in Paradise because we talked about wanting to do, like, a buddy read with Maggie on vacation of the second book in that series. And then, I don't know, we'll kind of see where I'll go from there.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I do also need to read, like, Winter in Paradise soonish, at least, like, before we go on vacation. My next book, I'm torn because it's, like, Crescent City stuff, I feel like the longer I push off just, like, continuing the Sarah J. Maas universe, the more I'm exposing myself to potential spoilers because I already feel like I've been exposed to spoilers. And so I just am kind of like, I think I need to get back on that. But with this video, I don't want me just reading the Throne of Glass series until one of them's hopefully a 5 stars. I feel like that's a cop out. But Assassin's Blade could still be in the mix. I also might do, what was the book from Blood and Ash or something like
Six
that?
Six of Crows is Six one of that you Crows mentioned.
Was very highly rated on Goodreads. So I'm like, maybe I could do that if I'm still wanting something fantasy related. Mrs. Nash's Ashes probably wouldn't be a 5-star, but like would still be maybe a good one to fit in. So
Did we do an update of like books that we've read since we last talked? Because I've read, I think since I last I'm talked to you guys.
I'm this month, you guys. I'm at book 7 and I probably will finish an 8th, the one I'm reading now, before the month is over.
I don't think I'll finish my books. My Powerless is pretty long, but I've gotten 6 books read this month, which is I think the most I've read. I actually don't know what I read in December. I think I read quite a few to like get back to my reading goal. But I was slacking towards the end of last year. And I feel like also like I found a good way to balance like, okay, I have a dog, but like now he's not holding me back from my reading. So I feel like I'm back on the bandwagon of getting my books in. So I read Mrs. Nash's Ashes by, who's the author? Sarah Adler, gave that 4 stars. I really did like it. There was just like a few things like here and there plot wise that I was like, it just felt like an unnecessary detail as part of like the character's quirkiness on both sides, like the male and the female interest, where I was like, I didn't feel like that was necessary. But it did remind me of The 7-Year Slip in terms of like the plot and like the vibes kind of. And so The 7-Year Slip was one of my favorite romance books that I read last year, and it was a good read. I enjoyed it very much.
I feel like another reason that I was wanting to do or get back to Sarah J. Maas and Throne of Glass was I was watching, I keep seeing like clips and audios from the Broski Report with Brittany Broski, and I have never like, I always enjoy like the little clips when they pop up on my TikTok, but I never like gone and watched a podcast episode. So I like decided to do that, and the one I picked was called Enemies to Lovers, and I was watching like the YouTube version, and it's just so funny because like her personality is just like, she is just like fangirl obsessed like to the max, and like she doesn't care who knows it. And so she was talking about how she had started reading Throne of Glass, and she was just like, everyone that's listening to this, like if you're in the Broski, I don't know what they call themselves, but she's like, this is mandatory, this is like the book club assignment, if you don't do this mandatory, I'm gonna stick my dogs on you. Like she was just like really invested and obsessed. So I was like, I mean, I kind of feel like I need to.
You're like, I'm not even in the army, but I guess I am now.
I have to, yeah. So that was one thing. I also like making sure that I didn't forget to like update any other books that I've read. The last one I read was Nora Goes Off Script. I don't know if I was reading that last week or not, but like that was a very short, easy read. It was kind of,
it's annoying. It's
interesting a little bit because it's like, it is technically a romance, I think, but like
there's a large portion of the book where the two main characters are not interacting at all.
So, yeah.
So that was interesting.
But it was quick. It was less than 300 pages.
So. I read Stephen King's, it's technically the book, or like it's like a novella because it's like shorter, and I think he published it with like a series of other short stories. It's technically called Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption, but you know, it's just the book version of the movie Shawshank Redemption. I mean, the movie came after, obviously. Very short book, although I feel like it still took me forever to like actually read it, because I was like, shouldn't this be over now? I read it on my Kindle, and I was like, my timer on the bottom corner kept saying like 2 hours left. And I was like, I've been reading for 30 minutes. What do you mean? But it was good. I gave it 4 stars. If you've already saw the movie before I read it, so I knew kind of what to expect.
And you had it playing when I was downstairs, and I have not a clue what happened.
Yeah. I literally told Megan, because I had seen the movie before, probably a couple years ago. I was like, oh, it was a good movie. Like, you should watch it. And then I read the book because I wanted to get another, like, shorter book in. And I was like, I've seen the movie. That'll probably be good. It's
one of those things where I feel like, obviously, like, I could have sat down and, like, been more invested in watching the movie. But I was, like, just in the general area. And I'm like, if something, like, happens to catch my attention, then like I'll look up. It just so happened that nothing was going on in the movie to catch my attention.
Yeah. And it's funny, so we were like getting ready to go to bed, and like Megan, I think there's like, I did finish watching it the next morning, but she like just turned it off, and I was like, that wasn't over yet.
It seemed like it was over.
And so I finished watching it the following morning.
I was like, they were just in a field.
I was like, I was like, was it over? And you're like, I don't know, they were just in a field.
Seemed like they're rolling. Seemed like the credits were gonna start going. No,
there was probably like 10 or 15 minutes left. but anyways, so that was good. And I think that was the only other book that I had read. I finally finished The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series. That was just one that I had to like slog my way through. I had the last book because I bought all 5 of the.
I say I did. I stories in the one. Hobbit on here.
I don't know.
I'll get it. I'll talk about that after.
I bought, this was in 2022, that I bought all 5 of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books in one book, and I've just slowly been making my way through. I've been holding off on getting the last one done because I just, quite frankly, like, didn't really care. But I was, like, looking at the shelf where we keep our sci-fi and, like, Stephen King stuff, and I was like, I only have that single book in that book to read before I've read everything on the shelf. And the books are relatively short. And so I was like, I just need to like commit 2 days or whatever to finish this. And I did. I gave it 3 stars. I am no better off for reading it, but it is done.
So I feel like I've mentioned that I intended to read The Hobbit on the podcast. And this is coming from someone who has no exposure whatsoever to The Lord of the Rings at all. Like,
and like Megan is someone...
I have no clue what happens.
Like, because we did a whole podcast episode about like pop culture stuff and how I know more typically pop culture wise than Megan does. And that includes like Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, Harry Potter stuff.
Where I'd be like, even like going into reading The Hobbit, I kind of felt like The Hobbit was not, I feel like I was picturing Dobby the House Elf in my head. Even though like Dobby the House Elf is, he's an elf.
And he's from Harry Potter.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
So I think going into this, no clue what was happening, no clue what was going on. I got 11% of the way through. This was just like one night when I was reading, I got 11% of the way through because it's not a very long book. But there was something about like the narration of it and how it was written that was like really kind of throwing me for a loop. And I felt like a lot was happening, but nothing was happening just in the little bit that I read. Because like in the beginning, it's like the Hobbit doesn't like to do anything. The Hobbit just likes to hang at home and like stay out and like not be adventurous. Or not stay out, stay in, not be adventurous. And then, like, the wizard comes and is kind of saying something about, like, oh, like, you should come on an adventure with me. And the Hobbit's like, no, I don't think so. But you can come back for tea on Wednesday. And so then he gets a knock. And all of a sudden, like, instead of the wizard, it's, like, a bunch of other Hobbit creatures are, like, coming and swarming his dwelling. For what reason, I have no idea. And then the wizard eventually gets there. And I just was like, what is happening? I feel like nothing has happened in this book of substance. So I decided... life is too short and I was not going to keep reading it. So I DNF'd it. And then I told Haley I had DNF'd it. And then she got back to me saying that Ashton, which is her husband, our brother-in-law, said it was one of the best books he's ever read. I'm sure when he read it in like middle school or whatever.
It blew his mind back
then. And so he was saying to give it a chance. So I said, okay.
Which, like, maybe. In fairness, I'm telling Megan that she should probably give it a chance because we have forced so many books. Not forced so many, but, like, we've made him read Project Hail Mary, and then I made him read 11/22/63, and both of those are considerably longish books. Project Hail Mary is not that long, but, like...
So, like, the least I could give him is The Hobbit?
Yeah.
If any of you have read The Hobbit and it gets better, let me know.
So,
because I need something to look forward to.
Still holding off on that one, but it might be making its way back into the rounds. I don't think we have any other book updates, probably.
Unfortunately not.
General life updates. I feel like I've just had a nice productive weekend, which honestly like lends itself to the topic of today's episode. But I've been putting off getting my oil changed in my car for like a couple weeks, honestly probably at least a month at this point. And I finally did it yesterday. I waited for like 2 hours because that's the nature of going and getting your oil changed on the weekend. I feel like it's just you go in. I got there right when they opened, but there's already cars lined up and they're like 2 hour wait. And I was like, I will be here because when else am I going to do this? And I honestly intended to do more reading. I did a little bit, but this is the first time I went to this place and the place that I usually go to, it's like I pull up and I get to my spot. They take my information and then I just go right inside and like I have them do my, like move my car and stuff. But no one else was doing that here. Like everyone was staying in their cars until they pulled it into the garage. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, is that not the culture here? So then I just felt like I was like sitting in my car. I couldn't get, like, relax and read because I was like waiting to see if cars were moving and like wait to see if I had to move my car and just stressing me out to like try and read, but then like look up and be like, has anyone moved yet? So I didn't really do any reading until I actually went inside when they were changing my oil and that was like 20 minutes. So anyway, got that done. Megan and I went to the gym. I feel like we've been doing a good job, at least I have, of like doing that progressive overload that we've been talking about.
I think I have been... doing better with that.
And I've been incorporating, so I did 2 LISS workouts this month, like low intensity steady state, which basically just means I do 12 3:30 for one of my workouts. And so I'm trying to do that like that twice a month. I ran my 1 mile that I wanted to run this month, so I'm like, okay,
look here you go,
slay, doing my progressive overload and my 2 other things that I wanted to do. Just need to finish out the month and then I'll reset for February.
I have done I've squatted 135. I don't know if I've said it on here or not, but like I had a goal of just like, because I have not, because I always, well, I'm at like 115 is kind of my new norm hopefully now, but I had been stuck at like 95 for the longest time. And so I was like, I want to be able to squat, or at least like tell myself I can squat 45 pound plates, even if it's not for a lot of reps. So I only did it like one or two reps.
You did
and then
two.
I was like, yeah, I think that was enough. So that's not like my plan was not just to like have it be my new like starting weight. I just wanted to be able to say I could do it. So I've said that.
But we're early in the year. So who knows, by the end of the year, that could be your new normal.
Who knows?
Anyway, our goal, like with our progressive overload, we're trying to follow, not that we like don't know how to do progressive overload, so like we learned about it in school, but I just like when I see the TikToks of people explaining it and the very simple of like, can you do, for me, I say like 3 sets of 10. If yes, go up and wait until you can't do 3 sets of 10 and like do that weight until you can, and then you bump it up. And so that's just been like a nice, like easy way to keep track for me. And so I've been sticking with it, and I feel like I'm like, okay, for like our 115 weight, for example, I did like 10 reps the first time, which I hadn't done before, I don't think. But then I bumped it down to 8 for the last two.
Cause I think like, I did like that 8 and like 7 or something.
But I'm like, okay, that makes, in my head, I can say, okay, so I am challenging myself, but I'm also getting a little bit better because I did more.
I feel like
than
what
I
was
did.
Hard is like, I feel like at that point, the biggest limiting factor for me is my
form.
Core strength and form rather than my leg strength.
I do agree with that too.
Because like, I don't want, like that's just been the biggest factor that I've noticed is like I have to make sure I'm still bracing my core, and that's been the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've noticed that too. Like I don't want to get hurt. Obviously, you don't want to get hurt either. And so I've noticed like I really do try and like, you know, pay attention to my core so that I'm not like, you know, arching my back or like dropping my hips at the bottom of the rep. Like I'm trying to keep track of that. And I think I do generally a pretty good job, but I have no plans to like bump up my weight even if I can get 3 sets of 10. And I'm still like, ooh, struggling, like not feeling very good. I want to feel good while I'm doing it and need to build up my core strength some more, I guess. We need that one guy to come talk to us again about, you guys need to do this when you're doing your squats. Oh. Did we say that on the podcast? I feel like we did.
I feel like we probably did.
Anyway, a couple months ago.
There's just a guy coming out to us after we'd finished squatting and like, I'm watching Sierra, she's watching me. I feel like we have pretty good form. Nothing to
write
home like,
about.
Nothing I think that you would be like, I'm going to go up to these people.
Like they're going to get hurt.
And tell them they're unsafe doing this.
He didn't say that, but
if you guys keep dropping your chest, you're going to hurt your backs. And I was kind of like, I mean, at that point, I'm not here to start. Like this was a middle-aged man. I'm not here to defend myself or otherwise or like be sassy back. I just was like, okay, I didn't act very grateful or kind because I don't think it was necessary and he should maybe not do that to someone. But.
Well, I always feel I'm of the mindset. I think there's been like with squatting specifically, like
there's so
this idea
people.
That like you have to keep your chest up at all costs and people will bend like their spine in order to like compensate and do that. And I've always been of the mindset that if you have a neutral spine and you're like hips and knees are rising at the same time, because you know how sometimes you can like have a flat back but then like you start doing more of an RDL type movement, as long as your spine is flat, you're keeping
like
your chest kind of up and you're going up and down with like the same rate between your hips and your knees, like to me that's going to be a decent enough squat and you're not going to get hurt.
I agree.
So whatever. And also it was funny because like the week before, like that guy had come up to me, I had someone come up to me in the locker room being like, girl, my boyfriend and I saw you squatting and you were like, your form was so good, you were slaying. She didn't say that, that's me paraphrasing.
That's
but like no, she did say like me and my boyfriend were like next to you, and I didn't know she was like next to me when I was doing my squats, and she like complimented me on my squats. So I was like, that just goes to show
people
who knows?
Have different thoughts.
Who knows?
Okay, since we're about halfway through the episode, I just like,
I love these catch-ups with you
me
guys.
Me too.
So I'm not going to apologize for making it part of the episode.
And I especially love like the book portion because at this point we could just be a book podcast. But I know we have people who like to listen to us talk about other things. So for them,
we will
go into the rest of the episode.
Okay. So what are, do you think like some typical healthy habits that people like mentally always want to try and incorporate but feel like they struggle with? And we can also talk about healthy habits that we would like to incorporate,
like,
but then struggle with.
Big categories that I think of are food and eating, working out, being active, sleep, and then just kind of like mental well-being. Those are like my, if I'm thinking of like pillars of wellness.
I agree.
Those are probably what I'd say.
You see, because I feel like I want to talk about habits, but then also like routine, hobbies, and like just like making time for like those small things that still like maybe you want to make it a habit to like get into mm-hmm. some of those. And I saw a TikTok, maybe you saw this one too, of this girl going through, she's like, I think everyone needs to have three different types of hobbies, one for their health, one for their mind, and then like one for their hands. Did you see this? And I just thought it was like a fun way to like think about, I don't know if you've ever thought, like sat down and thought like, I wish I had more hobbies, and like, but I don't know what that would be.
And so she would ask me what my hobbies are. I think that
she was going through like health is like, you know, it could be like rock climbing, cycling. I mean, for us, like we don't really do anything like fancy for working out. So like, you know, ours is like resistance training.
Yeah, it's not really a hobby. I enjoy a scenic hike if it's short and simple when right. I'm on vacation.
So I was like, okay, I don't know if I'd call that a hobby for me necessarily, but like I do work out regularly. And so I'll check that out, I guess. One for your mind. So she included like reading, journaling, crossword puzzles, like, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then for her hands, she was like, you could do like painting, knitting, crocheting. And I was like, that's probably where I'm lacking. I wish I had a hobby of like
doing things. We had like the diamond art thing for a bit. That was before we got Vegas.
Yeah.
And also like we got a huge, huge one. And it was a little daunting,
yeah. But I'm like, I would like to find a hobby of like something that I like to physically do or like make or create. I don't know what that would be.
Crocheting or knitting or something.
And then Vegas looks at me. He's like, you're making me a new toy.
Anything. Think of anything with your hands and how Vegas would not be a barrier.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just being honest.
That's true.
So, I don't know. And for some reason, like, I have just never see myself as like I'm not a crochet person, but it's like, is anyone before they crochet, are they a crochet person? Or like, this could really be anything, but it's like, that's kind of the whole point of trying,
mm-hmm.
is to see if you like it.
So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I liked the idea of that, and I just wanted to give you guys some ideas if you feel like you're wanting to get more hobbies but you don't know where to start. Maybe try and pick one of those three. And it's funny, people in the comments were like, oh, I'm a cycler, reader, and knitter. Like,
They're like, I have all three figured out. So, like, you know, so I'm good here.
I'm checked off. So if you guys have any hobby ideas for me, let me know.
It would be nice to have like a more consistent physical hobby. Like,
right.
I get the rock climbing thing. A lot of times, though, it's like you also don't, depending on where your priorities are, it's like, so that stuff costs money. Like, I already pay for my gym membership. I don't want to pay for a rock climbing membership on top of that. I feel like that could really work well for someone who, like, let's say working out just, like, is something they don't like doing. So then, like, by finding something more purposeful, like that kind of
joining, like, a rec league type of thing. Like, you know, oh, co-ed volleyball starts. Me and my softball
league.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my CIs, when we were still in school, he was, like, pretty serious about his, like, softball.
I remember you telling me about that.
He literally, like, they went to, like, they traveled to Chicago for competitions, like when it was like their major competition,
which, like, good for them.
Yeah,
why shouldn't you? Okay, habits. I feel like for me the best way to implement a habit is to get into routine. And so, as like annoying as it is, like I do to-do lists, like on my phone I have this ongoing note that's just like, this is my to-do list note. I'll delete stuff, like I'll have each day written out. And then if I think of stuff, like, for that day, then, like, I'll put, you know, the little checkbox underneath that day. And at the start of the week, there is stuff that I know has to happen, like, on certain days or that I know is a daily thing. So, like, one is walking Vegas. That's something that I try to do every single day. And so I put that down on each day. Working out, I know I like to do, you know, okay, Tuesday, Thursday, and then maybe, like, Saturday and Sunday if I want to get 4 days in. So then, like, I'll put that in. And then, like, at the start of the week, it gives me, like, a mental or like actually physical picture of like, okay, here's like the things that you need to do like to get done today. And I'm a very visual person. I like to check the box when I get something done. And so it's like a motivating factor for me.
I feel like, so I kind of wanted to start by sharing my mantras to you guys a little bit of like, just kind of like my perspective on things. I've got a couple, like three.
Okay.
One, and these are not like, these are general. So like, I'm not the only one that says it, but I do like live by these mantras. One is something is always better than nothing. This is kind of in the aspect of like physically and like with workouts. And that's something that I do to remind myself that, like, if I get myself to the gym and I have, like, not the best workout of my
life.
Like,
you could literally walk in the gym, do one thing, and be like, that's it. We're leaving.
Or maybe it's a day where, like, I get there and I decide, like, there's been times where, like, I've just honestly would rather, like, read my book. So then I'm on, like, the recumbent bike for, like, 20 minutes. And then usually at that point, I'm kind of like, okay, I actually probably could go do, like, a few other things. So, like, anything is better than nothing, okay? If you get to the gym and you do, like, the bare minimum of a workout, like, it's better than not going. And it's one of those things where, like, my other leads into my other one. Consistency is key. Being consistent with going to the gym or just consistent with your workouts, that is going to matter more over a period of time than, let's say, getting in 4 workouts a week because that's what you're expecting, and then you fall off, and then you're like, oh, I'm not even getting my 4 workouts in a week,
I find,
and then
like, I'm not doing that. People who do that, they get burnt out very quickly.
They spiral. Like, and if they're not meeting all their expectations, then they forget all of them.
Like, there are some people who don't work out at all, and they're like, okay, I'm changing my life. I'm going to start working out. I'm going to do these very specific workouts, or, like, go to these specific workout classes, and, like, this is my life now. And then, like, maybe they fall off for a week, and they're like, I didn't go for a week. Like, I can't go
and
back.
And I never pick it back up.
And you and I have been very fortunate that, like, I mean, we transitioned pretty smoothly from, like, obviously we didn't work out really much, like, when we were growing up because we were doing sports and stuff. But then, like, junior, senior year of high school, we were like, okay, as gymnastics finishes up, we want to transition into, like, probably going to the gym more. And, like, then our whole gym journey started. And, like, we just always have had a membership, and therefore we've always, like, had a place to go. And it's never, like, we've had goals of, you know, I want to go this many times a week. But for the most part, it's always been, like, we just got to go at some point.
And so you and I are people who like to have gym memberships, but some people like to have their own little home workouts, or maybe they're more of, like, a fitness class type of person, or maybe you're someone who runs outside. You know, you have to find what works for you. But I definitely feel more motivated going to some place to do my things and then leave. Like, the thought of working out at home now, like, I can't believe we did that during COVID, because, like, I mean, we had our whole little setup,
like, you circuit training.
Yeah. But the thought of doing that now is like, oh my God, I would rather do anything else.
Yeah.
Even like, this is my last and final, like, mantra, I guess, but it's like, you have to be flexible with yourself a little bit and have some grace. So, like, as much as it's great to have, like, a consistent schedule,
I can jump off that when you're done.
Like, in theory, I am kind of like, okay, on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, or, like, 3 days a week, I'd like to get myself to work out in the morning. But sometimes my sleep is saying otherwise, and my body's telling me otherwise, and you can't always view that as a failure to, like, not succeed in going to do that. To the best of my abilities, I would try to say, like, I'll go after work. I'll go, like, later in the day. Sometimes it happened and sometimes it wouldn't. And you just have to
move on. Life is too short. Like, I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think routine is going to help you be more successful, of, like, having set times of, like, this is when I do this. That's, like, for working out. I know, like, my days that I work out in the morning if I can. When I'm walking Vegas, I'm like, okay, I wake up and I walk him, and I try and come home from work and I walk him. And, like, that's what I try to do. But then if it doesn't happen, I can't say, oh, like, my day is ruined. Like, I failed. Like, I didn't do it. Either regroup and see if you can be flexible, like Megan was saying, and try and do it at a different time. Or maybe you say, you know what? It didn't happen today. And that's fine. Maybe it'll happen tomorrow and I'll get back on track. But life is long. And just because you failed at, like, getting, you know, everything checked off your list that you had set for today doesn't mean, like, it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Habits that I've noticed that I would like to implement and have not been good at implementing: drinking water. I told myself, you know, every year at the start of the year, I'm always like, you know what I should do? Drink more water. Because I want nothing more than to be...
You haven't gotten your water bottle yet.
I know. I actually saw those. I saw at Hy-Vee, they had 2 water bottles that had, like, the times on it, but there was, like, $20 for both of them.
Like, I could get a cheap
one. I was like, that seems expensive. So I didn't get it, but I need to get one. I envy those people who just, like, carry around their emotional support water bottles, and, like, they just need it because they just, like, are constantly drinking water all day.
Where someone was, like, talking to a parent, and they're just like, water, like, drinking water wasn't, like, a thing back in, like, the 70s or 80s. Like, no one carried around a personal water bottle. No one was worrying about how much water they were drinking in a day. And, like,
maybe I'm just in the wrong era.
I was meant to be in the 70s.
Meant to be in the 70s.
And it's just like, water bottles, honestly, like, reusable water bottles, like, this is a new market. I thought it was interesting.
Well, it is kind of interesting.
It's
But when I tell people if I'm telling you guys when I last got a glass of water or a bottle of water and drank it, I couldn't tell you I should probably not be alive right now. You know, if you're you have to drink water.
I feel like I usually every couple days, I actually have been trying to remember to bring a water bottle to the gym more recently. And
I don't bring a water bottle when I work out. I told Dad that and he goes, what?
I usually don't either, but I'm trying to get better at it because I'm that's the perfect opportunity to I probably am. If I'm going to drink water, I'm probably more thirsty or craving it at the gym of all places. Because I just at home, I don't. If I'm at home, I might force myself to I'll fill up a glass of water.
And so you have to drink this.
Then I just chug it because I can't be bothered to carry this around. Same with a water bottle. I'm not going to be bothered to carry a water bottle around. It's just not in my DNA.
Yeah. So. That being said, I know I should drink more water. But I also, sometimes I go back to the nephrologist and they're saying, your body will, tell you when you need water or when you don't. And my body does not tell me that I need water. My body says I'm good without it. I'm kidding. I know I should drink more water. Give me your tips for how you guys drink water.
Okay.
You know the other habit that I need to kick? Nail biting.
I have some food related talking points, I guess. And I'm not here to I don't have a specific diet recommendation for you guys or anything like that. I feel like in general, people know healthier foods and not as healthy foods and better options for them and not great options. If you're someone who's trying to meet specific goals, whether that's lose weight, gain weight, whatever, you probably are going to need to be more specific with paying attention to being in a calorie deficit or a calorie surplus. Although generally, I don't really like when people get super tracky with their foods and calories. And I feel especially if you recognize you're someone who's maybe more of an obsessive type of person and it could easily become something a little bit unhealthy, I feel you should just start with saying, knowing I want to make these changes, I'm going to try and increase my activity level from what it is now. I'm going to try and eat healthier than what I am now. And that's a good general baseline of where to start. And I feel you have to set yourself up for success, and you cannot be here and expect to jump up to here and be successful. So don't expect to say, I am now going to meal prep 5-star meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of the week, and I will be able to do that and sustain that. That's probably not going to happen. Realistically, what's going to be easier is maybe you're someone who makes the simplest, quickest, easy,
For us, lunch is taken care of.
Our garlic chicken pasta, or what am I saying? I'm combining our meals. Our garlic chicken with rice and asparagus and our pasta is no brain power is needed to make these meals, and they hit the things that we need to hit.
They're pretty tasty. And they're relatively healthy.
That's why gym bros who just do rice, a vegetable, and their protein, it's because it takes no brain power to think of a meal for that. Okay. If you're trying to go on Pinterest and find these really crazy and time consuming but probably better looking meals, you're not gonna have the time or energy to do that, most likely. For times where you're wanting something a little bit better or just quick and easy, I'm not a frequent Trader Joe's shopper. You could probably find frozen meal options anywhere, but I hear a lot of good things about Trader Joe's frozen meal options that are those are the things that are going to kind of save you to say I'm not falling off, but having this in my freezer as an option for food is going to be better than me saying I don't have anything, I'm going to go pick up food or do takeout or something else.
And I feel again, when Megan's talking about not going all in of I'm prepping my whole week of meals. To me, lunch and breakfast are the two easiest meals to control and say we prep our lunch pretty much every day because we have to bring it to work, obviously.
Sometimes it's leftovers from dinner though.
Right. But then breakfast, I'm pretty consistently, I do get Starbucks, but obviously if you wanted to control, your breakfast, I've got my set breakfast sandwich that I make every morning. You can get into a pretty quick and easy routine of having a couple breakfast options that will be relatively healthy for you and don't take much time. My breakfast sandwich I can make in 5 minutes and it hits every time. I think it's relatively healthy. I'm not too concerned about it. It's got bacon in it, but it's just a bagel egg and some bacon, I'm fine with that, you know, for mm-hmm. whatever goals I'm meeting. And then my lunches, we already talked about that. And then, like, dinner is where I, like, let myself, like, you know, maybe we'll go out to dinner. Maybe we'll, like, do something else where it's, like, dinner is, like, maybe it's healthy, maybe it's not. But that's the balance that we were talking about.
Yeah. I don't know if I had any other specific food talking points.
I didn't have anything for food other than that. What about, like, just fun habits? Like, we talked about reading a lot, obviously. But reading for people who haven't started reading, or this can apply to, like, any other hobby that you want to allocate time towards. There's people that say, like, I just don't have the time. So we can talk about how we, like, implement time for our hobbies. I have found that reading at night has been key.
I was going to say something. And in the morning, honestly. Was, like, I kind of talked about, like, how by, like, ever since getting Vegas, he's probably made my nighttime routine better because he forces us, or makes us look forward to, like, mm-hmm. going to our rooms to go to bed. Because after, you know, having to entertain and watch him from getting home, after getting home from work, his bedtime is usually, like, 8:30, 9 o'clock. So, like, by 9 o'clock for sure, Sierra and I are, like, we're going upstairs to have our own little me time.
Yeah.
And so that's been a really good time for me to say, like, okay, from 9 to 10 is when I'm going to try and do my reading specifically, is what I try to do. Like, I get my, like, heated blanket and have, like, maybe an hour or so just to focus on reading, which has been quite nice. And it's, like, before we had Vegas, I obviously could read down here a little bit easier than I can now.
But, like, you'd, like, be distracted. Like, down here, we're distracted anyways. Yeah. Like, we do read sometimes, but, like, usually the TV's on.
Yeah.
We're watching something, and then we'd say, like, oh, it's, like, we'll go to bed. And then you go to bed.
And it's, like, later. Yeah. So, Vegas has probably improved my...
And in the morning, now, sometimes I'll read in the morning if I'm watching him. And I'm, like, okay, we got back from our walk, maybe. I've still got 30, 40 minutes before I need to get ready. So, like, I might read for a little bit. And he's usually settled down enough where, like, he can either entertain himself or he'll sit on the couch with me while I read. And so it's, like, what else am I doing? I could watch something on TV. And I do sometimes. But I feel like in some ways he has helped, you know, with my routine of, like, okay,
he forces this is a good reading time. Certain times.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's, like, related to, I know I talked about going on a walk and stuff. I do, like, for the most part, like, taking Vegas on a walk is not, like, the bane of my existence. Honestly, what's annoying is getting ready to go on a walk because it's still cold, and so I have to, like, kind of bundle up, and then I have to get him ready. But I have podcasts and stuff that I listen to, and so, like, that makes me, like, look forward to, like, oh, like, I have this episode that is in the middle of, so I can, like, look forward to going on this walk. And so, like, whether that's music, audiobooks, podcasts, like, you know, when you can do, like, those mindless tasks of, like, you know, you need to get something done. Maybe even, like, cleaning, you know.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the power of, like, multitasking with something that you enjoy. Anything else?
I didn't have any other talking points. I've said all I've had written down.
I have as well. So, hopefully this gave you some good insight into, I don't know, I hope we talked about something helpful for you guys, whether it was time management, how you can implement some quick and easy tips for incorporating some healthier habits into your life.
If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel and give this video a like. If you are listening, then make sure you are subscribed wherever you're listening.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere
else.
With that being said, we will talk to you guys next Thursday.
Bye.